I just don't think he tried. Like, I can't look at this and think, yeah, he stayed up late.
No.
Really going over the script or like looking at the fucking dailies or like in the edit room. He's just thinking, he's like, how can we tighten this up? Welcome. It's a cast with no name. We are your hosts. I'm Jay.
I'm Ed.
I'm Coop.
This is episode 95. We're talking cereal, pastries. We're talking the Breakfast Wars of 1960. It's Unfrosted, the new Netflix movie that Jerry Seinfeld made for reasons.
For $100 million. That was the budget of the movie.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Time piece.
I didn't look up a single thing on this.
You didn't need to.
I know, that's why I didn't. I was like, oh, they're not going to try. I'm not going to try.
Let me make sure that budget, because I just read it on the internet, and we all know
that's true.
The internet's true.
It's true. Yeah. I just looked up the Sinbad Genie movie that exists.
You did, yeah, that existed. That no one remembers.
No, everyone remembers.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Everyone thinks Kazam, the Shaq movie, starred Sinbad.
Sinbad.
Because all black people look the same?
Well, that's the point. I was like, they don't even look alike, though.
I told Coop, I'm like, listen, your prejudice is like seeping through.
They don't look alike.
Yeah, they were definitely off. It says $16 million budget. Still, it's a lot of money.
$16 million.
$12 million went to Jerry Seinfeld's appearance.
Had to have been. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
What did you guys think of Frosted? Unfrosted, not Frosted.
Coop, what'd you think?
I liked it.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I watched it in the same vein. I took it as the same vein as like an airplane movie. Like, it's dumb gags. It's a family movie. It's not trying to be serious. It's not even really a movie about Kellogg's versus Post and the pastry. It's Jerry Seinfeld making up a story to tell a little kid that ran away at a diner.
Yeah. Okay.
And he made it fun.
Yeah.
For the kid.
All right. I do appreciate your take. It's the first person I've.
That probably has more thought put into that take than
the movie, than
movie.
The writing.
Yeah. If I were to watch this again in that vein, I might appreciate it more.
A little more, yeah.
But I wasn't thinking that way.
At least at that point, it would make sense.
Right, yeah. What'd you think, Jay?
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I wondered why. Like, it didn't...
Yeah.
If
were you wondering, who is this movie made for?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then I was thinking, okay, it's made for our parents.
You mean our grandparents?
No, our parents. It's made for our parents. They were alive. Well, my parents were alive.
Yeah.
In the early 60s. I mean,
yeah.
Half of those references are for baby boomers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, it has to be baby boomers who take their grandchildren to movies.
But they're
not even that.
They're not even that. It's on Netflix.
Just Netflix.
Yeah.
Grandparents who babysit their grandchildren. I think that's who it's made for. It's a very, like, I don't know if kids would like it. Did your kids like it?
They watched it with me, but then they kind of cut out after,
no,
like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of turned off, bored.
Yeah.
Oh, there wasn't Legos and, you know, Legos fighting each other. So, wasn't geared toward an 8 or a 6-year-old boy.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just, I guess this is a thing.
Yeah.
Wanted to get his buddies in it and a lot of cameos. Those were fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
I enjoyed one cameo in particular.
The Mad Men?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was great.
Just because I love that show.
Yeah.
That
was a great crossover.
Show again.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought.
And it made me want them to do another season of Mad Men.
Exactly.
Like, God, they could fucking do it. Roger still looks impeccable.
I know he does. That's what came out of that scene was me wanting to watch Mad Men over again because it's a great show.
Yeah.
Yep. But
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
It's
It's for Seinfeld fans.
Is it?
I'm not a
Seinfeld fan. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
A lot. I know. I was in the pool. That's Jerry, but I was in the pool.
It was George. Yeah.
George.
I was in the pool.
The penis shrank. It's little. It went inside like a turtle's head. I'm aware of that one. I'm aware of like the George pushing the kids out of the way when there was fire, the man hands. Like I like driving as far as you can without the gas going. I'm aware of those episodes and I watched some of them, but I feel like that comedy, though, it's two totally different comedy, I feel like. Because Curb Your Enthusiasm, I feel like, is more in line with Seinfeld a little bit. I mean, obviously, same creator, but same sense of humor. This is just, like, wacky, like, this is ridiculous for the sake of being ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like Airplane or... Yeah.
It's a cartoon. It's like with
a
parody
or a Mel Brooks movie or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mel Brooks, I would say, I don't know. Because I wouldn't even say it's a parody. What's it a parody of?
It's just a goofball comedy.
Yeah, it's just a weird comedy. Yeah. So it's not a parody of anything. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, they could have done...
It reminded me of Dracula, like Dead and Loving It, or Robin Hood Men in Tights.
But Robin Hood Men in Tights, you still... I mean, they were like...
Well, it's... The framework is, we're going to put you in this time period, and then we're going to make gags... with references to present day stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess pop, like epic like pop movie culture, and scary movie. Like they had
things
pop
like that. Yeah.
Pop culture references and stuff, but.
Or what's that movie called? History of the World. Again, another Mel Brooks movie.
What did you think about them putting JFK into it? Working him in there and the double mint twins and.
I thought it was like low hanging fruit.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
I mean, the obvious
the whole
joke.
Movie's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Like, there was no thought put into this at all. That's why I'm like, what? Why? Like, were they bored?
You know what it reminded me of?
Was this made during the lockdown?
No. No.
Okay.
That was like 4 years ago.
Shit.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was. But. So I can't recommend the movie. I didn't really enjoy it because it was going for that Airplane spoof comedy and it didn't hit for me because, I mean, that's either hit or miss.
I don't think it did. Like, there are so many tropes they could have done for like the business biopic thing. I mean, I don't think enough movies have come out to be able to pick it apart, but even like some of the things that happen in business biopic movies, like the stupid, oh, what should we call it? Nike Air. No, that's dumb. And then everyone like jerks each other off in the theater because they all know that Nike Air became the, like, you get what I'm saying? Like the stupid naming convention, and then they, oh, it'll never work. We're in our garage. And like, there's tropes in there that weren't even referenced. And that's why I'm like, Airplane was more or less a parody off of Airport and Millennium. Mm-hmm. And like those, like just disaster films of that era. And it worked because every single person in that movie was a serious actor.
Right.
And
well, it also worked because everyone had seen disaster movies.
Correct.
So this is flawed because not everyone was alive in 1963 and like a lot of the references I don't even know what that is.
Well, to Jay's point about it being like for our parents, for like boomers, right, like the grassy knoll with the milkman, like all right. Like the conspiracy theory, all that stuff. Yeah. Those references are definitely dated as far as our generation are, like if you were to take your kids to see it.
Yeah. Obviously our kids, they would, no idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't like it. I'll probably never watch it again. It was like, I was trying to figure out how I would summarize this.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of like the SNL skits that became movies, but there's not enough material there to be a full length movie like Ladies Man or Night at the Roxbury or Superstar. But it's even worse than that. It feels like an all that sketch that they turned into a movie like Good Burger.
That's a good, good 90s reference, yeah.
But I felt like Jerry was like, okay, I want us to pretend like we're 12 years old again, uh-huh. and we're in 1963 when we grew up. And it's like we're doing an All That sketch, and we're going to make a movie out of it.
Nailed it.
Let's pretend that Kellogg's and Post are in a war to make the Pop-Tart. There we go. There's our idea.
But then I feel like it should just keep getting more and more absurd. Like, if that's like the starting point, then just really go over the top. Like,
but they didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. They didn't do anything with it. It was, oh, let's bring so-and-so in and we'll do this scene and it's funny. Because JFK banged people that wasn't his wife. And
let's get Bill Burr to do it.
Yeah, which I will say he did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, yeah, he's all right.
There's like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing there. Like the Weird Al Yankovic thing. At least that just like went to absurdism.
It did.
And
that's
it was different enough from Walk the Line or Walk Hard or whatever the Dewey Cox one. that it kind of
set itself apart.
Yeah, it set itself apart. And this just isn't anything. It's a bunch of sketches, I guess.
Yeah.
Loosely held together. And I get it. We're not supposed to take it seriously, but I don't think they took it serious. Like I feel like they didn't take the comedy seriously enough because it wasn't fun. What was it? The guy who plays in The New Girl.
Max Greenwood.
Max Greenwood. I enjoyed him. Of course, he was playing a Schmidt character.
Yeah, he's playing Schmidt.
And I enjoyed Christian Slater. Every time I see him, great. The Mad Men thing, it's fun. I chuckled once, and I can't remember what I chuckled at. It wasn't the Mad Men part. That I saw coming. He's like, oh, we're getting a couple of ad men from New York. And I'm like, oh, God, please let it be. And then you see the back of his head. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I saw Roger, and I was like, hey, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Funny you say that. Because I wrote down every time that I chuckled because I knew I'd forget when I chuckled. Just like what you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three times.
Okay.
I never laughed out loud one time watching this movie. It's when they were going, Jim Gaffigan was going over the headlines and he said, our troops are going to Vietnam. And he goes, Vietnam sounds like a good idea.
You get it though? You get it? Because it wasn't a
good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. because
when Amy Schumer's questioning the dumpster kids, she says, one of the dumpster kids says, this actually tastes pretty good out of the dumpster. And Amy Schumer goes, better than what's out of the dumpster, just what they said about grape nuts. I said, yeah, because grape nuts, you know, get it? Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. It tastes like gravel, like something you would get out of a dumpster.
Right. And then the full cereal honors. Remember they were burying who died again? I forgot who died.
And more. Oh, I don't know.
Schwinn.
Schwinn, thank you.
Schwinn.
Oh, that.
Jack Schwinn died and they gave him full cereal honors and it was like ridiculous and it was stupid. And then all of a sudden, that was the only moment where they were amping it up a little bit. Like I thought they were just going to end the joke with them like pouring milk into the casket and then putting cereal and like stirring it. And then there's a lady like crying, cutting a banana into it. And I was like, all right, that's kind of funny. And then snap, crackle, pop, like snap, crackle, pop, like trying to give him military honors. Mm-hmm. The way he said pop was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And that was it. Any of those moments make you chuckle? No,
no, wasn't that.
No. The lady cutting the banana.
Maybe it was a funeral scene. I don't know what, but it was like I was watching, like, and that was it. And it was back into the Christy fell asleep 10 minutes into it.
Yeah, you told her good,
huh?
Wise move.
No, I told her, I was like, you need to rewatch this. I was like, it's you got to wait it out, and
I think if this would have came out in like 1975, maybe it would have hit harder. It would have been funnier. Yeah. I don't know, because the references would have been more fresh.
More current, yeah.
I mean, they made a William Howard Taft fat joke. I mean, that's that's the bottom.
Slightly
of the barrel.
Dated, yeah.
Slightly. People, no one knows who that is. If you were to ask anybody, hey, what was the body composition of William Howard Taft? No one, they wouldn't know. 50-50.
Skinny guy?
Skinny fat guy?
Oh,
I don't
fat
know.
Guy. Oh.
Who knows? Could win an Oscar for production design, though. I thought the set design was nice.
Oh, it was awesome.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
It's a very bright 60s.
It reminds me of Barbie.
Tim Burton. If like Tim Burton did 60s.
It reminded me of Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going to your thing, like, oh, it's just a story he's telling a kid. They don't even come back to the, like, you don't give a shit about the kid. Like, you know the kid's going to be picked up later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the kid gets picked up. Yeah.
I forgot about the setup, though, watching the movie the whole time. Because they started the movie off with him starting the story with the kid, and then it ended. So the whole time in the middle, there's no break where it's like, oh, wait, no, I got that part wrong. It actually happened like this to remind the audience.
Right,
that remember, he's telling the story
right.
to the kid.
Yeah, that's true.
But because they do that in Princess Bride, where they literally like stop in the middle.
Yeah, that would have been a good
to go back to Fred Savage and Columbo.
Good.
What's his name?
Edit.
Columbo.
Thanks.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Peter Falk. That's his name. Yeah, but I'm comparing Unfrosted to one of the best fantasy movies ever made. So who the fuck am I?
Yeah, written by one of the best screenwriters of all time. Yeah. So I mean, or the best screenwriter of all time. But this one's written by Jerry.
Yay! Did anyone's performance stand out to you?
Christian Slater.
Okay.
No, not particularly.
I was gonna say no, me either.
Like I don't know. I feel
the
like
admin guys.
You mentioned the set design. I think it would have worked better if they lit it like a drama.
Like Mad Men?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Lit it like a drama. Everything is serious.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the situations are just ridiculously absurd.
Yeah.
But you have that dramatic lighting, the harsher shadows. Everything like is so, like, looked like Barbie. Like it was lit like a comedy. And I was thinking, maybe if they just, they did it like the, like actual.
Yep.
Key and Peele did that quite a bit with their sketches. Mm-hmm. They would light it like a drama or like a thriller or something like that, and just like weird shit would be happening. That's what would, I feel like that would have been maybe better.
No, I think you're right. I think you're on something.
Because everyone was already playing it straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it would have improved it that much, but it would have been something different, at least, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least try something. Like it's,
well, a lot of the jokes weren't even like you said, like it's like were they even trying? Because it's not even slightly amusing. Like the Chef Boyardee and the German scientist raising the ravioli as their own. It's like,
it's pretty far
like fetched. Pitching that.
Yeah.
In the writer's room, I would have been like, that's the dumbest. No, let's think of something else.
They could have done without that.
Something.
I thought it was going to come back and that was going to be like the mascot for the box. Like they would take the ravioli, put a costume on him, and he'd smile and it'd be like a like this known picture of a pot. I thought that was going to come back and mean something. Nope.
Yeah.
It didn't.
There was a lot of those jokes, though, where. What's the one we just referenced? Get it? Oh, yeah. Vietnam. That's right. That sounds like a good idea. And we know in reality it wasn't.
It's terrible. Yeah.
So there's that one. There's like, we should frost this after they make the, it's like, that's a terrible idea. And then there was the moon. You really think that we're going to go to the moon? Yeah, you're right. We're not. It's like, oh. A lot of that.
But it's funny because we actually went to the moon and they eventually supposedly.
They
frosted,
say
Pop-Tarts.
I know. You know, this movie was so unfunny that I started looking up the history of Pop-Tarts as I was watching the movie.
How accurate was it?
Ravioli guy was actually correct.
It was. Like, was
a real person.
They brought in.
He's living in Nantucket
Chef
right
Boyardee.
Now, and he's a sailor.
The at the end when they were like, they came out with Country Squares and Kellogg's came out with Pop-Tarts, and he's basically said, yeah, kids want Pop-Tarts because it sounds, you know, hip.
Yeah. And no one wants to be a square from
no
the
one wants to be a square. That was actually correct.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. When they both released those around the same time and Kellogg's sold off the shelves. And that was right. Like the first 2 weeks that they were on the shelves, they sold out and they were empty for like a couple weeks and people were waiting in line to get them again.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Yeah.
I never knew that Pop-Tarts were that.
No, at all.
Anyway, that was more interesting.
Not a lot going on back in those days.
No, not a lot. But that was more interesting reading about that than the actual movie.
Than watch the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I was checking to make sure the references were right. That's how bored I was. Like, was Snap, Crackle, Pop? Was that a Kellogg thing? I thought that was a General Mills thing.
Well, see, you educated yourself.
I did.
Education out of this movie.
My worthless knowledge.
You're inspired.
I was way inspired.
You're a force to be reckoned with come trivia night, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. If I'm ever on Jeopardy, watch out. Category is cereal.
Murderers. Oh, God, no!
Where's Christy at? We need that. She knows every murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't.
It didn't elicit an emotion for me to be like, sometime, like I was mowing the lawn today. You know, I was thinking about things that I was like, well, what could I say about this movie? It doesn't make me mad, but I do think that movies like this are kind of a waste. Just because it was, I guess the budget was $16 million, so it's not that much, but it's like,
you're thinking just a waste of time.
Money. They could have given that money to a homeless person sitting outside their studio and it probably would have been gone to a lot better cause.
You're probably right.
I'm sure there's some kid somewhere who watched this movie and it's like the bee's knees to them. And he's like, ah, and I don't know. People say, oh, if I could just make one kid laugh, it would be worth it. Well, I get that. And it's noble. But maybe when you make a movie, try and make at least two people laugh.
Yeah.
Or so, like, I don't know what it was like. I felt like it was something to do.
Yeah. Something that Jerry wanted to do.
But I don't even know if it was that.
Well,
I think it was like, because I've read an interview, like that interview, I don't know if it was by the Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair or whatever. They were interviewing Jerry Seinfeld, and it was during the promotional tour of this. And yeah, I mean, he talked about a little bit what you referenced last week. Like he doesn't think movies are the future. He thinks movies are dying. And he's like, oh, making movies ridiculous. This is not an important movie. This is stupid. This is blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I get it. I mean, you could say that about anything, and then you go into a nihilistic point of view, but it, like, why are you doing something then?
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't matter, why are you doing it? Is it simply because someone paid you money? And, hey, give us a 90-minute movie. Here's $10 million. Did he fucking need that? The guy's like half a billionaire.
Yeah.
From the residuals of Seinfeld.
Maybe more.
Like, what the fuck is he doing? Is he bored? Like, did the grandkids like think, oh, you're not funny. I am funny, I swear. And then he goes out and he makes this piece of shit. And then it's like, yeah, told you, grandpa, you're not fucking funny. Soup Nazi was better, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand. He doesn't need the money. It's not like he was saying something. He didn't break any grounds as far as comedic structure or anything. It's like, I felt like it was kind of like a middle finger to like, ha ha, got ya. You wasted an hour and a half of your life because of whatever semblance of brand recognition that I have for this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he just wanted to do it because he wanted something to do.
Because he could
and it was a hobby.
Direct a movie.
And maybe you're right. Netflix did give him a deal. It's like, hey, in your contract, you got to do a 90-minute movie for us.
Maybe. Did he do like a stand up for Netflix or something?
He sold the rights to Seinfeld or licensed the rights to Netflix for like 10 years or something for like $450 million, something absurd.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. That's even on top of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Of what he already gets. So maybe somewhere in that contract, because then he also sold the licensing rights to writing, what is it called? Riding Cars with Comedians and Cars, yeah. Getting Coffee, or yeah, whatever it's called. He does that show too.
Which I know why that show's successful.
Why?
Because the host can never be more interesting than the guest. And
you're saying the host is more interesting than the guest?
No.
You're saying the other way around?
Yeah, it's the other way around.
Right. You're saying Jerry Seinfeld's not interesting?
He's interesting, but he's not funny. Like, everyone he has, everyone in the car is, like, hilarious. Like, I always reminded of the Norm MacDonald.
Which one?
Thing, when he's in the comedian cars, he's like, Jerry's, like, driving the car around. And Norm's like, so you think this whole thing with Bill Cosby is going to hurt him, hurt his reputation? And he's like, yeah, I do. He's like, he's like, yeah, Patton Oswalt said the worst thing about this whole situation was the hypocrisy. And like, Jerry Seinfeld parks car is like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think it's the raping.
Norm is the best.
But now, like, what? Like, oh, I'll give you. Okay, you give me $450 million. I will give you the streaming rights to Seinfeld for 10 years. But I also want to make a $16 million movie.
True.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. Unless he just wanted to have fun with his friend. And I
think he just wanted to have fun with his friends.
Yeah. Probably. Like Adam Sandler. He just got all
the
buddies.
It's like Hubie Halloween. It's like Hubie Halloween for Jerry Seinfeld.
But with Hubie Halloween is a lot better than this. And with those movies, I feel like they still try.
Okay.
I don't know where they tried. Set design was great, but I mean, they just wheel that shit out of a garage and put it on a studio and there it is.
Yeah.
And then they wheel it back in the garage and we'll see those props again 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Something completely different. But
yeah.
And if it is just a sense of like, hey, let's have fun, let's goof off, let's blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know.
It's funny. Seinfeld gave this interview where he was asked about like the death of comedy. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the same vein as like, you know.
Oh, good. Was he burying it then? Was that what this movie was?
Exactly.
Well, prove it.
He was saying like the movie industry is dead because it goes through like 80 different hands for the script. He's like, and as soon as that happens, that's the end of your comedy or whatever. There's too many chefs in the kitchen messing with your script.
Or too few. Somebody doesn't know how to fucking cook.
Right. And, you know, comedy's dying because everyone's offended now. You know, the quote unquote woke mob will come get you. And then this comes out.
Yeah, it's the most bland fucking thing.
So you're saying this is the product of no hands other than yourself writing the script.
Jerry
and
Seinfeld.
Not a victim of the woke mob because it's not offensive to anybody. And I would hope this went through like 80 different fingers to pull out the comedy. Cause
his comedy is classically like no cussing, no like,
yeah, I know.
nothing edgy really. It's just his funny observations. Yeah. And so it's like, I guess this is what you get when you take that comedy and turn it into a movie.
Right. Yeah. Well, he brings up some good points. I would think it comes down to this, like the death of comedy is bad comedy, Jerry.
Bad comedy portrayed as good comedy.
Yes, even more so. Yeah. That's step one. Like you have to have good comedy, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong about this?
I don't know. I just don't think he tried. Like I can't look at this and think, yeah, he stayed up late.
No.
Really going over the script or like looking at the fucking dailies or like in the edit room. He's just thinking, he's like, how can we tighten this up? like, oh God, the scene doesn't feel right. Like, I feel like they shot it. Like, we all had good time. And they're like, all right, hey, you want to sit in the edit bay with me? Nah, fuck it. Just fucking send something to Netflix. That shit doesn't matter anyways.
I drew it on a napkin here and just edited it like this.
Yeah. And
I mean, you're right. It feels that way. Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm not, I maybe his, even if his comedy was family friendly, it still was like, I don't know. I just didn't. Did you see a lot of Seinfeld show in this movie?
No.
Because I feel like the Seinfeld show is more subdued and more, I mean, you had Kramer that was,
I mean, it's definitely more adult themed with the things that sure. they do and talk about. So,
and that was the thing. I was like, well, maybe he made this for kids, but half the references are for they people that yeah. we don't even get. I mean, we're aware of them, yeah. but
yeah. Well, I was thinking about that. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld's 70 years old.
The references for people is, it's like a film that was made, how to put this, for to be entertaining to children, and then references for people his age were thrown in there.
Right.
But there really isn't anything for anybody, millennial, Gen Z, nobody else would,
right.
would,
well, imagine
would understand
this.
The references, or anybody younger, or anybody older than a child would think that like everything's bright, everything's flashy. Right. Like that's what keeps the kids engaged. The references for grandma
right.
is there for them, but nobody in between those two age ranges is a target audience.
And maybe
them.
He was like, he's probably like, hey guys, you know how Pixar always has those adult references in the kids movies? Let's do one of those. We'll put in adult references.
That's kind of is what it is, and but it's then, for like way older then, adults.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's like, oh my God, we went too old. We went the other way.
Ah. No one's done it. No one's done it before.
I just want to talk like that for the rest of my life.
I know you do.
You can.
You want to do the impression of Jimmy Fallon doing Jerry Seinfeld? Yeah.
Every time I go into work, good morning, everybody. Did you get my email?
Is the guy pretending to be Jimmy Fallon pretending to be Jerry Seinfeld? No, that's just Jay. That's just how he talks.
Imagine it, this would be like if this same movie came out when we were kids, right?
Uh-huh.
In the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And it's referencing 1930s pop culture references. It's like,
yeah, that is
how
true.
About that Prohibition, eh?
Hey?
Eh?
Hey, remember Jack Johnson? Yeah. I was thinking of a movie that went further back in time referencing culture back in that time, way older than the 60s. And the one thing that came to mind was A Million Ways to Die in the West. Have you ever seen that with yeah. Seth MacFarlane? Yeah. Where they make fun of like, oh my God, they're smiling in their pictures. Did you see that? Yeah, who does that? Those freaks.
Yeah.
Like things like that mm-hmm. or like, they're doing like, what's the stick in the hoop?
Stick in the hoop. Yeah.
And they're like, what are the kids up to now these days? These bunch of heathens
yeah.
running around with like the stick in the hoop. Yeah. Society's going to shit. It's things like that or the mm-hmm. fucking.
But
way
those,
old
but those
way
work
old.
Because he's bringing it back into modern day. Like it's because everyone always says, the kids today are going to shit. And
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
matter what,
yeah.
they're doing,
what they're doing,
even if it's something.
Yeah.
Right.
The next generation
the
isn't going to like it. Yeah.
Right. But they only hit that so that movie like lost it's too long. That movie's just, it's because you can't make a 2.5 hour movie with that kind of humor and have it hit every time.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like that this movie should have had a central thing. I think that it was trying to do at least that. I don't know.
Sort of character development or arc or something. Character relationships.
Yeah.
Stakes something
like Melissa McCarthy, I think probably was probably the best.
Yeah.
As far as the main characters went.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan was, Jim Gaffigan. Amy Schumer. I was surprised that she's friends with Jerry.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to do a comedy like this, like, cause you know, Airplane and Mel Brooks movies, like they don't have like character arcs and development. It's just there for the jokes. You're there for the punchline, yeah. the setup. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the setup and the punchline. Knock them out. It has to be funny, funny, funny in order for it to work. Like a movie, a comedy like, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin, for example, they develop the characters. There's an arc. You like them.
Mm-hmm.
You want, there's a stake. That
you want
you're
Steve
rooting
Carell
the character
to
do,
right.
and then there's jokes sprinkled out in there, and it makes a good comedy or a good romantic comedy where you yeah. care about you want them to fall in love, blah blah blah. You sprinkle the comedy in there.
Scary Movie, not, I mean, you really don't even need, I mean, it's pretty much a ripoff of Scream, but it's just funny, funny, funny.
Yeah, funny,
but
funny,
but
funny, funny.
It's childish humor. It's, right. You know who it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I'm just like, why? What was the, like, there,
something to do.
There's, yeah, that had to, but that's a very expensive something to do. And
he's a billionaire.
That's fine.
What's nothing. 16 million between, yeah, friends?
And I thought that, I was like, oh, maybe he's offering a payday for all of his friends or something. And I'm like, 16 million. I was like, there's a lot more cameos than 16 in there.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you want $100,000? Sure. But even like Bill Burr, like, I don't know.
He maybe did it as a favor.
I'm sure a lot of them did it as a favor. Fuck it. Yeah.
Every one of those comedians that made a cameo were on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. All of them. That was,
yeah,
an actual comedian.
Each other. They all network.
Yeah, yeah. They all
with each other. I mean,
maybe he just called in favors. He's like, hey, can you work for a couple days?
This whole thing is probably a weird tax write-off.
You think so?
Yes. Because it's probably like, well,
for Netflix?
Yeah. Well, no, that's the reason. So here we go. Now this is interesting because he wanted to sell Comedians Cars Getting Coffee.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't because everyone had their own rights. Because it was a YouTube show or like some internet show that Jerry did. He's like, oh, just do it as a favor. Fine, but I retain the rights. Okay, so that's why he got everybody in there. So that way he could, Netflix was probably like under backdooring, giving him money to, and that's why they agreed.
Huh.
So Bill Burr was like, give me $10 million and I'll give you the rights to Comedians Cars Getting Coffee. They're like, well, I don't have that. But Netflix does. And so then he goes to Netflix, he's like, hey. And then the budget for $16 million was probably just for the prop master. And
who's Jerry's cousin?
Yeah. And then they take all that money and they're screwed from ducking it and jumping in there and bathing in it and shit like that. And then they, yep, go to their yak parties or something. But
yeah,
they
go to the Bohemian Grove and light each other on fire.
I just
worship owls. All, yeah, yeah, stuff.
But like
worship Beelzebub.
Like at the end, during the credits, you know how everyone's dancing?
Yes. Every movie ends that way nowadays. Even fucking Trolls.
That's animated. That's
what this movie is. It's an animated adult cartoon.
And that's
cartoon
fine
with real people. Yeah.
But you imagine, like, it's just a favor. Like, hey, all right, now just dance. What? Yeah, just dance. Your cameo's over. We got the cameo. Just dance, and we'll put it in the credits. I've only been here for like an hour. Like, what? Dance? Okay.
And look how fast they snapped and danced, Jay. They couldn't wait for someone
like,
to tell them.
Like,
to
they're
dance.
Having the best time of their life. Yes. Like, now, but
when you get paid to dance, you dance, monkey.
It's, but it's like the Grinch or like the Santa Claus and, yeah, stuff like that. Like, at the end of those movies, to where, oh, it was like a 3-month process or something, to where, like, like something about Mary had it. But yeah, at least then, like, it was just like, we're having fun kind of a thing. That, I believe they had fun on the set. And maybe they did on this one, but
it's to remind you, the audience, that you had a damn good time watching this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So we're going to dance for you just to let you know that
you had fun. Don't forget that you had fun.
The feeling that you think you're watching a piece of shit. No, you're not.
No, we
watch people
time.
Dance. We had, yeah, a great time. So you should too.
Fun time.
It's a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, but again, like, I didn't hate this. It's just,
it's just there.
It was 90 minutes of a thing.
Yep. It was, it's there. It's a thing.
Yeah. Go watch it.
Yeah. Coop recommends it.
Go enjoy it. And if you forget halfway through, watch till the end. You'll see everybody dancing and they'll remind you.
Yeah.
Coop, what else did you like?
Maybe
about
it's a good, yeah,
you
maybe
quiet
it's a good
this whole episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just kind of listening. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to win any awards, that's for sure. But I, yeah, I, and maybe it's because I grew up in a my parents were older, so like I kind of got the references better than other people.
Oh, I got the references, you know,
but
it's just not funny.
But I enjoyed it. I don't know. It was fine. I don't know.
Yeah,
it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. I mean, it definitely wasn't the best movie I've ever seen either. I probably won't watch it again. But for a one-time watch, it was fine.
It's a slow 90 minutes. It is a slow 90 minutes.
It's slow.
It feels like a two-hour movie.
Yep.
Because I think I remember something happened. I had to pause it for something. Maybe I was getting a snack or something. And I paused it. I was like, oh, fuck. It was like only 20 minutes in. I was like, Jesus Christ, this feels like it's taking forever.
Get to the point.
We're 20 minutes in. The whole exposition should be finished. Stop introducing characters.
Yeah, I mean, so right. You recommend it.
You recommend it?
Yeah, go watch it once. Yeah.
All right. I don't.
It's stupid. Like, it's.
I don't. Yeah.
But it is stupid comedy. I mean, it's for sure stupid comedy.
But it's not fun stupid. It's not even good stupid comedy. Like, weird.
It's funny, folks.
Weird is good stupid comedy. I just don't feel like he tried or, like, nothing. Like, that's the only thing.
It's like Night at the Roxbury to me. It's like, it's a thing.
I mean, yeah, there's parts in it.
It's not hurting anybody. Yeah. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's not hurting anything.
It's
but
not the worst movie you've ever
it's
seen.
It's something you could fall asleep to.
See, but the Night of the Roxbury, you could look at as part of, like, being a mistake. Because, like, oh, we got this really popular skit.
Yeah.
Let's make a movie about it. Okay.
Yep.
They made a movie. I mean, at least it had an arc. It had...
Mm-hmm.
Clear beginning, middle, end. I had conflict. It references to better movies. It was fine. It was, but this didn't have any of that. It's just,
yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. But it's not even based on anything that was popular.
No.
Other, I don't know.
Yep.
But even if it was the whole thing, it was like, ah, fuck, it doesn't matter. It's a movie about Pop-Tarts. It's bullshit. We're making fun of these other movies. Then make fun of the other fucking movies. Like, keep calling back to that, to where, like, they could have set it up like Citizen Kane. And that would have been a good narrative structure to where, or even have the kid, like, bring back the kid more. Because in Citizen Kane, to where it's like about this man's life or whatever. And they could just keep bringing back the absurdity of the whole situation, or the fact that, oh, no one gives a shit. We're talking about a product. So your Flaming Hot Cheetos movie and Barbie and Air and all these, like, we're making a movie about a thing that people buy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they could keep, like, calling back to that in a different way, or, like, at least have some kind of something that you're saying, but it's not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And it doesn't have to be a serious thing. It's just, it could just be as simple as these movies are stupid.
At least try.
Yeah. Or, like, just, I don't know. Just, the fuck are you doing? Like,
What's the point?
What is
the point? The point is to have fun with your friends.
There you go.
But it has to be fun then. Then it has
to be fun.
They had fun.
They danced.
It was fun for them.
They danced at the end, Jay. They had a great time.
Well, they had fun.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to watch that. I don't want to watch people having fun. It sounds horrible.
Well,
it's like going. All right, I'm gonna throw something out there. So imagine, like, going to, like, a big. You're just sitting in a big room with people, or a big thing area, and you're just watching people have fun. Is that appealing?
I do that all the time.
That's every sporting event.
God
I've
damn
ever
it!
Been
you
to.
Can't. I was waiting for one of you to be like, no, that's horrible. Like, it's every sporting event. Got him.
Every time I watch my kids play in a jungle gym with other kids, I'm like, oh, look at all these kids having a great time.
Oh, you're not doing that. You're flipping through your phone. Looking up.
Well, I'm doing that.
Looking up every once
look
in a while. Making sure,
has anybody kidnapped them yet?
Yeah.
No?
Okay. Making sure there's no pervert in the bushes and making sure no one broke their arm.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
All right.
Coop recommends it.
Yeah. Go watch it one time.
That's right. Fine. If you have a Netflix subscription and you have 90 minutes.
Yeah, don't get Netflix.
All.
Don't get Netflix just to watch this movie. But if you have it, go ahead and watch it.
No one's going to. If you love Seinfeld, the TV show, it has the same person in here.
It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
It's got the same guy.
Yeah.
From the mind of your favorite sitcom.
Yep.
Actually, Larry David created Seinfeld, so he gets.
I wish Larry David had been in it. Now that you bring that up, like just a cameo, just a little.
Surprised he wasn't.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he the Quaker Oats guy?
Yeah, he should. I was gonna say, I was like, he should have been the Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah. Well, because
or General Mills, something.
Yeah, something.
But all right, next time. Top five twists.
Yes.
Top five all-time twists.
All time.
So number one, cinnamon. Number two, the
Chubby Checker.
Yep. And number three, I don't know.
That's it. There's only twists. There's cinnamon and there's Chubby Checker.
Yeah, that's it.
So we'll be talking about those two things.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next time. So top five twists.
It's not going to be all-encompassing M. Night Shyamalan, by the way.
To my dismay.
It cannot be a top five M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be in there, though.
I'm actually going to have to think about this.
Yeah?
Because I don't know if I've seen very many movies with...
Oh, you have.
...twists. Oh, I'm sure I have.
You absolutely have.
I just don't want it to be a rehash of a Google search.
It's fine. After The Sixth Sense, every movie seemed like had a freaking twist.
Yeah, that for sure set the stage.
Yeah. Everything had a twist.
Ooh, I know one.
Ooh.
Ooh. It won't make the list, though.
Okay.
Oh. The twist isn't even like... It's like
honorable mention, perhaps?
Thing? Have you ever, one thing to look up, Sleepaway Camp.
Okay.
Did that come before Friday the 13th or something?
It sounds like a,
I think it was before.
Was it before?
Before. Because the twist in that movie, I saw it one time.
Is this going to give me nightmares?
It always stuck with me.
Did it? How old were you?
It's not going to make my list, though.
You know what sticks with you is was it Boys Don't Cry? What's that one where Hilary Swank was a dude?
Yeah, I think that's
Boys
it.
Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry, yeah.
I've never seen
that. You've seen The Crying Game?
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
That was great.
That was Sleepaway Camp right here.
Make you know, watching that movie when I never saw
The Crying Game.
I saw it when I was in college, and people are like, "You got to see The Crying Game. It's great." You would never guess the ending. And as I'm watching, I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is." I'm like, when it came up, I'm like, "Really? That's the twist?" Like I knew this watching the movie when that character was introduced.
Do you remember watching Derailed? We were
with Jennifer Aniston.
You saw it, and then it came out on DVD. This is so long ago that DVDs were the how you watched movies at home.
Yeah, that was it.
It was like,
and you're like, Cooper, you're never gonna guess they were watching it. And like, as soon as they're in the hotel room, I'm like, oh, Jennifer Aniston's in on it. And you were pissed. You're like, how'd you know?
It's true.
Other people were upset that I ruined it.
Yeah.
Oh well, fuck them.
This is going to be fun. There's so many movies of twists.
I remember I came back from college one time, walking back from class in college, and I lived in a fraternity house at the time, and I walk in there and come back, and it's about like a Thursday afternoon or something. It's nice and sunny out, and walking through the front door, and like everyone's just sitting there like glued to the TV. Like we had this big screen projection TV. And walk in there. Everyone's watching Reservoir Dogs. There's like eight people.
Yeah.
And walk in there, and I'm like, oh. And by this time, Reservoir Dogs has been out like 14 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's whenever it's like everyone's in the Mexican standoff. I'm it's right before everyone shoots each other. And they're like all of a sudden, Jimmy James in there is like, son of a bitch, God damn it, Jay. I'm like, what? And he's like,
it's not like you told him Mr. Orange was the cop.
Yeah, it was like right before everyone shot each other too. And he's like, motherfucker, I've been sitting here watching this shitty fucking movie, waiting for this. See why it's so fucking good. And I'm like, you haven't seen this before? I was like, I feel like that's more on you than me at this point. And
you get like a 6 to 12 month window of seeing a movie.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't have to say spoiler alert or whatever the fuck, or like,
well,
what,
now, you know what I mean? now it is, but
yeah.
Yep. What were we talking about? Oh, the twists. What was the one? There's a Bruce Willis one, Color of Night, that I feel like came out right around The Crying Game.
Color of Night. Never even heard of it.
It's horrible.
That's
it's
not Sleepaway like, Camp, is it?
No, it's supposed to be like an erotic thriller.
I'm gonna go home
something.
And watch that tonight.
I'm telling you.
Well, this keep
it's yeah, a shitty no, it's a shitty 70s slasher.
Came
movie.
Out in like 94. A colorblind psychoanalyst is stalked by an unknown killer after taking over his murdered friend's therapy group, all of whom have a connection to a mysterious young woman that he begins having an intense sexual encounters. Blah blah blah. Erotic thriller, psychological thriller, steamy romance.
Ooh, a late 80s, early 90s erotic thriller. That's one of those. They just pump those bad boys out. 22% Rotten Tomato score, 5. Wow, it's going to be great. Sure, it's fantastic.
But yeah, there was a twist in there.
Look at this picture from Bruce Willis laying out in the pool in the movie. It's a still from the movie. Give me a break.
5.2 out of 10. That is accurate.
Jeez.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's next episode. Top 5 twists.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time!